Welcome to Jurisdiction, the International Intellectual Property Law Podcast for August 2014. I'm your host, Don Cameron of Breskin & Parr LLP in Toronto, Canada. We hope you'll find this podcast informative, but it should not be taken as legal advice. The opinions expressed are solely those of the participants. The Global Dossier is a one-stop internet location, currently under construction, that will provide access to dossier and examination information of all family patent applications of the U.S. Patent Office and the IP offices of the EPO, Japan, Korea, and the People's Republic of China. It will be a common service interface to each IP office's electronic dossier system. Mark Powell is the Deputy Commissioner for International Patent Cooperation at the USPTO and is in charge of the Global Dossier Project. His office is brand new and is the first new organization created at the USPTO in decades. Maria Holtman is the Program Director for the Office of International Patent Cooperation. She takes a broad view of the number of programs that they're offering and looks after day-to-day operations for Mark's team. I spoke with Mark Powell and Maria Holtman from their office in Washington, D.C. Hello, Mark. Hello, Maria.
Hello, Don.
Hi, Don.
So what is the Office of International Patent Cooperation?
The Office of International Patent Cooperation is a new organization at the USPTO put together to address unify a number of the international cooperative projects that we've had going on for a number of years, actually in a bit of an ad hoc basis here at the agency, and in order to address new challenges in international cooperation, not only for patent offices, but really for stakeholders.
Now, I understand that one of the major projects you're working on is something called the Global Dossier. In, 25 words or less, what is the Global Dossier?
The Global Dossier is a set of business services aimed at providing benefits to all global users of the system, meaning all stakeholders, examiners, applicants, innovators, everybody who touches the patent system. And it's one stop. The beauty of it and what we're really excited about is a lot of these services exist today in piecemeal, it's like a patchwork of services. So what we're doing is we're providing one-stop access to a lot of services for the users.
I think your website describes it as a one-portal access to the dossier information of the IP5 offices. Who are the IP5?
The IP5 offices are, apart from ours, the Japan Patent Office, the European Patent Office, the Korean Patent Office, and the State Intellectual Property Office of China, which are the five largest offices. The Global Dossier services, as Maria pointed out a moment ago, many exist or are in the immediate implementation phase. One of those services is to provide dossier access to the electronic files of each of the five offices, among the others, and also in the very near future to provide public access in one portal to the dossiers of those five offices, with the hope of enabling work sharing among examiners and ease of information to members of the public about the prosecution progress and output of the five offices for a given family of applications.
So is this a closed shop, or can other patent offices join in the future?
That's a very good question. This started in the IP5. However, for this to be truly a global dossier, we would ideally like to have all offices in the end. In the nearer term, we are working with the WIPO, who is working on a file sharing system known as CASE, or Centralized Access to Search and Examination Results. Those offices involved currently are the UK, Canadian, and Australian offices, plus our colleagues in Japan are experimenting with linking to that. So perhaps in the coming months, we will be expanding from the IP5 into a greater number of offices.
So how did the idea for the Global Dossier come about?
Well, that's a really, really good question. Okay, the IP5 started in 2007. The initial meeting was basically, do you want to cooperate? The answer is yes. The following year, the five offices got together and outlined a number of ways in which they could cooperate together in order to support work sharing. So over time, the five offices developed a number of IT initiatives, began work on them. Some were more in the study phase. Some were essentially already, had already progressed prior to the IP5, namely the one portal dossier type theory. However, within two or three years, it became obvious that the offices were trying to work in lockstep. In other words, trying to provide things at the same time, however, having to work in completely disparate IT roadmaps, right? So the USPTO proposed that we take a fresh look at all of the things we're doing, and not only within the IP5, but certain things we've been doing with WIPO on the side, and try to provide an umbrella process where there would be systemic outcomes provided to the stakeholders that were essentially cohesive, right? And also at the same time, the offices agreed that we should develop these services in conjunction with the users and implement them as offices are able. In other words, if our office and the European offices is able to provide a service, but another office can't until a year or so down their IT roadmap, so be it. And in that way, we're going to actually accelerate the provision of services to the stakeholders.
Now, I can see the global dossier helping three potential groups: examiners, patent applicants, and, for lack of a better term, snoopy competitors. Could we just sort of go through how it is going to help each of those groups? How will it help examiners?
Okay. Examiners will have access in essentially a one portal situation to the work of the other offices, you know, through Global Dossier services. Right? Today, they have to they can get access to much of this, but they have to you know, go outside of their examination system, go to say the EPO's website, enter an EPO number, look at the information there, and do the same with the Japanese office and so on. So by providing this all together in the examiner's tool or set of tools, that will speed up their access to such information.
Yeah, I'd like to add something there too. And also today, the examiners could go through all that, go to the EPO site or wherever to get the information on the cross-filed application, but there might not be any work done on it. So in the global dossier, they won't have to take that extra step. If there's work available, it'll be obvious.
It'll be flagged.
And they won't have to waste time, because it is a time a waste of time to go seek out that information when they have nothing available.
In addition to that, the global dossier services that we're providing to the examiners, and I believe to the public, will include machine translation capability.
And how about patent applicants? How will the global dossier help them?
Well, in the end, a second phase of the global dossier is our efforts to provide cross-filing services from a single portal. We're very early in the discussion phases of how that would work, and of course there are procedural and perhaps legal impediments to it. Ideally, we'd like to have a situation where from a single portal, an applicant can file the application in a first office and then essentially direct the cross-filing into other offices or be able to create at the click of a button an international application and have it automatically sent to the IB at WIPO. So this is what we generally call cross-filing services. The stakeholders we've discussed this with have estimated that for U.S. Filers alone, in the aggregate, some $150 million in, I think, paralegal fees.
So
would be saved, and this is just to get filing dates in all of the five offices.
Right. Well, Mark mentioned he started that answer by saying in the end, but I think even early on, if we can get some of these simple, more administrative tasks done up front in a single portal for global filers, that will immediately begin to reduce some of those paralegal costs.
Right. And there's a lot of low-hanging fruit. For example, an applicant filing in the U.S. has to fill out a bibliographic data form you know, name and attorney and address and so on and so forth. They have to fill out similar forms asking for basically the same information in all the various offices. And you know, that begs the question, you know, why can't there simply be one form for all of the offices? Our Global Dossier Initiative is, in part, making those things more apparent and part of the greater discussion to start with this low-hanging fruit and move upward in terms of procedural harmonization. All of this really is the idea to streamline, reduce costs, and, of course, reduce costs will enable the exploitation of more IP rights.
And if I'm a competitor of someone and I want to look and see what the situation is for their patent applications, is this going to help me do due diligence more efficiently?
I think it will because, you know, once again, as a member of the public, you'll be able to go to one place and find out all of the prosecution history information from all the participating offices. This is what we want to refer to as a global situation. So the answer, Don, is yes.
And who's going to get access to the global dossier?
Well, initially, it's going to be accessed among examiners. Eventually, the public portions will be, of course, accessible to the public. And for the patent owner or applicant, they will have access to, you know, essentially all of the file wrapper information, both public and confidential, from a single portal.
Can I add in here that so our USPTO examiners are going to have access this year, October timeframe, and then public access through the USPTO's global dossier is going to be available in 2015, mid-year to maybe early fall.
And will there be a cost to use it for either patent applicants or other members of the public?
Absolutely not.
And I think you've already told me where you are in the implementation schedule. What's the next step for Global Dossier?
Well, I think the Global Dossier, as Maria pointed out, is a stakeholder-generated set of business services. So as time goes on, we're going to continue to work with the stakeholders to identify new services which they would find desirable in their system. And Maria, would you agree that's kind of the long-term approach here?
Right.
Is to provide services to the stakeholders, be they the applicants or examiners, which will streamline the process and make access to information, for example, much more efficient.
And that's why we've done a lot and still have more to do outreach with our stakeholders because, again, we can't define what all the stakeholders will need, so we have to be talking to, you know, external stakeholders, internal stakeholders, because everybody comes up with a new idea for us, which is really good.
Yes. And currently there's a group known as the Global Dossier Task Force, which consists of stakeholders related to each of the IP5 offices. Here in the U.S., that's the AIPLA and IPO. In Europe, Business Europe has a IP wing. There's the Japan Intellectual Property Association, and so on. So they have formed a collective group known as the Global Dossier Task Force to give us input on these topics. In the very, very near future, we'll be expanding our stakeholder outreach beyond that to small and medium entities, the university community, tech transfer organizations, and certainly other offices that are not part of the IP5 to continue that input.
But also one of the mandates of that task force Mark just described is to put us in touch with and identify the other stakeholders that we need to be talking to make this really for everyone.
Yeah.
So is there a stage after Global Dossier?
Well, that's a really interesting question. The Global Dossier concept is so open-ended. We don't see really an end to making refinements. One thing about the Global Dossier process is, if you look at things from a harmonization standpoint, we would refer to this as technical harmonization, right? And with my reference to, for example, the bibliographic data situation, that can lead to procedural harmonization. All the while, as these harmonization topics become more and more advanced, then the stakeholders may say, well, why can't we have subject matter harmonization in terms of, you know, grace period? We've got everything else, grace period and prior user rights and so on. So we think this is a very comprehensive process in the end. So I don't see an end to it in the near future.
And I would just like to reinforce what Mark's saying. What we're really hoping is through the technical and procedural harmonization that the users start putting more pressure on the offices to harmonize, again, the procedures and then maybe even more substantive harmonization, because it will become so glaringly obvious that certain things that are different now don't need to be different.
Exactly, so exactly.
We're really hoping this generates momentum for us.
And you know, the entire system, it belongs to the stakeholders. And this is really a new paradigm where we are asking the stakeholders, you know, what do you want? And we are asking them to put pressure on us to deliver those things. And in the end, that's going to speed things up far more than offices collaborating and perhaps trying to guess what the stakeholders might want and why.
Mark and Maria, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Don.
Thanks
for having us.
Thanks, Don. We appreciate it.
Mark Powell is the Deputy Commissioner for International Patent Cooperation at the USPTO in Washington, D.C., and Maria Holdman is its Program Director. For more information on the Global Dossier Project, I strongly suggest you take a look at the video that they prepared that explains the project. It's available off the USPTO website. Just search for Global Dossier USPTO Video and you'll find a link, but we've also made one available on our IPLawPodcast.com page relating to this podcast. For further information on other jurisdiction podcasts, please visit IPLawPodcast.com. You've been listening to Jurisdiction, the International Intellectual Property Law Podcast. I'm Don Cameron of Breskin & Parr LLP in Toronto, Canada. Thank you for listening.